This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
The declaration of the gospel of the kingdom is without parallel or peer, as we will learn. And Dr. Wyatt will relate that this gospel should never be emptied of its power.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, this is a great lesson for us today. Sharon's reading is from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I do hope you'll stay tuned.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and folly to Gentiles. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. We are continuing in our theme for this season, for a specific purpose, for I am concerned about the seemingly lack of Christians, their leaders, the shepherds of Christianity, those with their bully pulpits truly defending the integrity, truth, rights, independence, and destiny of our faith. Apparently, among the greatest dangers to our faith is not just our secular societies with their anti-religious agendas, but as much, if not more so, our own leadership within Christianity. There are leaders, too often self-appointed, or if not, very ambitious, or so it seems. They seek attention, the limelight, for approval, and not as true shepherds who seek the safety and well-being of the flock, the whole flock, not their own little clique, or often as it is called, their own discipline. Like the church at Corinth, we too are shattered into ineffectiveness, by division and party spirit, perhaps even over serious questions of theology, which is all bad enough, but we bicker over petty small things that even native wisdom should be able to overcome. It's the mission budget, long-term financial plans, contemporary or traditional music, fixing the organ or not, a new rug for the foyer. All this and more misses what is of true importance. Christ is not divided. As Paul says, just who was crucified for you? There is one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, and he has one flock, no matter what man has done to separate their own fiefdom. To believe in Christ Jesus is to abide in and to heed his voice. We are then his. We are first his. We are of the way, Christians, long before we are, say, Baptist, Catholic, Anglicans, Orthodox of whatever nationality, or charismatic. In Paul's day, it was of Caiaphas, Paul, Apollos, or some other. But we need to think more as one flock, because whether you want it so or not, we as believers are under attack. Because of our moral beliefs, our defense of traditional values and desires, it is not that we wish to force our beliefs on anyone, but it is simply our hope for the best of reasons that others know of our life in Christ, and that knowing this, they too would want to abide in him, as we do. It hardly seems like something to so agitate the secularists and anti-religious, but of course there is a lot more. But we need not be sidetracked by their inability to tolerate us as believers. But in the words of Paul, we are to preach the gospel, not with clever rhetoric, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. I think often all that he does say here is often missed. We often concentrate on a simple gospel message, done without a lot of clever and well-devised words, as Paul speaks of here. But then I think we miss the full import of what Paul means by the power of the cross. This is simply the power that is present in the gospel of Calvary. Obviously, there is something remarkable, liberating, earth-shattering in the message of the cross. Of course, there is the Spirit's presence in the proclamation of what Jesus Christ accomplished on that tree, and then his leaving that tomb. But it is more than words, more than the affirmation of the Spirit being present, but it is God empowering the very words, the Spirit infusing the atmosphere. It is exactly what Paul will reiterate later, as, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Simply, it is more than passion in what is said, more than excitement, the anointing, or whatever one would call the sense of God's call, the response one sees to the effective proclamation of the gospel. There is in this message, in its witness, in its proclamation, when done at God's urging, by his enabling and empowering, a demonstration, an audible, visible manifestation of what Paul calls power, or in the Greek, dunamis, which is the word from which we get our own word dynamite. There is then more here than a staid, quiet reflection, a mood of serenity and peace. This is God moving in the very proclamation of his word. To use language in a way that would hinder this demonstration of the power of God is, as Paul says, to empty the cross of Christ of its power. It is why Paul can so easily say with such confidence, assurance, and such boldness that the cross will seem foolish to those perishing. This proclamation with its demonstration of the Spirit's power may seem foolish to many, but to those on their way to full and eternal salvation, it is God's power. It is the ultimate demonstration of God's activity in believers, providing the inescapable evidence of his word in us. It is a power at work that makes his work in us an experience that shatters all doubts, makes salvation no mere word, but a living reality. For as Paul writes further, that scripture relates, in particular, Isaiah records God's declaration, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart." Or to further use the word plays, "the intelligence of the so-called intelligent I will frustrate. I will destroy the genius of the so-called geniuses." when it comes to what God is doing and His purposes, what He has designed to do, and bringing it about in ways no one had anticipated or even dreamt of. So just where can the wise ones be? Where is the scribe, the scholar, the lawyer, the great politicians, and those of power? Where is even the great philosophers or those who dispute and debate over the great questions of life? Why, Paul is saying that God's actions have made them all look quite foolish. All their vaunted knowledge, so-called wisdom, their power, their ability to move events, or so they may think. As it is said, the control of one's own life is the greatest illusion. Those who believe they are in control of events are fooling only themselves. As Paul will write a little later, that we do impart a wisdom, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret or hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glorification. None of the rulers, or none of the wise, the so-called intellectuals, all the smartest people in the room, none of them saw or perceived any of this. For, as Paul says, if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What an amazing statement that is. If they had known, they would not have. This brings a whole new aspect to the events surrounding Calvary. Had they known what it meant, why God allowed it to happen, why Jesus challenged the authorities, made His execution an inevitable consequence, was such that had they known, they would have found a way to avoid it all. That there were powers, forces at work that did not know, could not know, but would not have wished for the ultimate reality, God's propitiation, man's expiation, that sins would be atoned for, that it would bring about the redemption of those who believe would be made possible, and the ransom paid. For Jesus, in the words of Pastor Bolsfor, Christ paid a debt He did not owe, because we, that's you and I, owed a debt we could not pay. Paul is speaking of a spiritual meaning, a spiritual reality, being freed, which has changed all perceptions, all measures of power, of greatness, intellectual acumen, and especially our ultimate destiny. God has made all the wisdom of this world as nothing. It is all foolishness. It all can have no real or ultimate control over the redeemed. They have no power, really. All their supposed abilities, presumptions, theorems, propositions, all their treaties, judicial fiats, their academic degrees, their notations in Who's Who, or the citations on their wall mean nothing. God is in control, and always has been. Caesars tried to stamp this truth out. Tyrants have tried to kill it, potentates to dismember it, Marxists to prevent it from perpetrating itself. Yet now in China there are more Christians than card-carrying communists. Now new fascists with scimitars try again to stamp out this wisdom of God. They too will fail as their barbaric and despicable acts embarrass and delegitimize their beliefs as unfit for a civilized world. Watch as the line of demarcation grows more and more distinct between this irrationality and cowardice and what is honorable, truthful, and faithful. It has pleased God that through the so-called foolishness of what we now proclaim, what we preach to save those who will believe. This is God's pleasure, His decree from before creation. This His purpose, that this message go forth to every corner of our world. It may seem, and indeed it is, in Paul's words, to be a stumbling block, more a scandal to the Jews and silliness to the Gentiles. Who ever heard of the cross as an act of deliverance, of salvation? Who ever believed that an empty tomb was anything but the height of irrationality? Just the belief of a few deranged or superstitious fools. But that is exactly God's purpose, His point. It is meant to be such. It had to be such. The world's way at looking at things, its measure of strength, meaning, purpose, wealth, power, or success, is all turned upside down. Nothing the world esteems so highly will in the end mean anything. For God has wrought a new world, a new existence, centered in and made possible by Jesus the Messiah, designated Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by His resurrection from the dead, unquote. There is something much more about all of this that needs to be emphasized. For those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Those called, which are those chosen, redeemed by the supreme act of Calvary, what seems weak or foolish is anything but. It is and will be stronger, more powerful than anything devised by men. The Spirit of God active in our lives, active in the words we speak, in His living, empowering presence, is what once turned the world upside down and continues to do so whenever we allow His Spirit to use people like you and me, all who are called, whoever you might be. For you see, it's not about our cleverness, not even our experiences or vast knowledge. It is about the Spirit's presence. Oh, my Lord, let us truly embrace Thy Spirit and continue to proclaim, witness without tiring, of the truth that is the gospel, the truth that is the cross of Jesus Christ. For I do desire to see once more the people of God turning this world upside down, that Thy kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven, all for the glory of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
This message of presenting the uncompromised and undiluted gospel of Jesus Christ is a crucial one, especially for this time and place. One that we must have the courage to always proclaim and to aid all people in their own witness. Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his study titled, Why Christianity? Here is a persuasive look at just why one should be a Christian. It is not simply because we believe Christianity to be true, but because history, science, our own experiences, and a great deal more, makes Christianity the wisest and best choice. You will want a copy of Why Christianity? So ask for this study. It can be yours at no charge. Well, bless you, dear listeners. We want to express our appreciation for your prayers and your gracious, continuing support. Those of you who have not yet felt a desire to support this ministry, we pray that you will consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. There are our overseas missions that need your help, the radio ministry, and our many free publications. So we ask that you join us and become an important part of God's work. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Your voice is a comfort, as is the truth that our Christian message, when given without dilution or compromise, is this sorry world's only hope. As Audrey of Minnesota relates in this joyous note, I so believe in miracles, and I thank our God for all the prayers He has answered for me. She then reports all her many blessings and many answers to prayer, as we all can and should do. We too often discount the little ones as insignificant. Please, we have a gracious God. Nothing is insignificant. He is always there to enable and strengthen us. I do invite you to write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now our ensemble comes to perform Robert's own Come Unto Me. And until next week, relish our new way of life.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt is offering at this time a copy of his newest book, Why Christianity? It answers the question of why one should accept Christianity or believe in Jesus.
The answers are here. So do write and ask for Why Christianity. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1, or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time, and remember what God has promised to those that love Him.